Thank you, Jesus. Wednesday night, 2:16:22. No nonsense. Look at the book of Revelation. The title is The Rapture of the Wicked. All right. I'd like to give credit to some of these scripture references to a ministry called a website, John Weaver Freedom Ministries. The rapture theory did not even begin to be taught in the church up until about 1830. From what I understand, it was highly opposed by most of the church at that time. Unlike then, it has become a pet doctrine of the church. What I'm going to show you through the scriptures will help you to see where the truth really lies. There is a rapture catching away in scripture, but it is not of the righteous. As I've said throughout these teachings, that what we believe must be established in scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. The same scriptures that certain ones use as a basis of the rapture of the church are really for the rapture of the wicked. That is what we will look at here. The scriptures that you're going to look at, they all have the same context as you will soon see. All right, there's quite a few scriptures. So the first one is Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. The word here, force, it's 7:26 in the Greek. It is the word harpazo. It means to seize. Okay. Harpazo is to snatch or catch away. In this instance here, there's another instance. This is Acts chapter 8, verse 39. We'll look at that right quick. I was really surprised when I got to looking up all the scriptures that how many scriptures there are that are the Greek word harpazo. All right, Acts 8:39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right, we're going to see, this is in the vines that I'm giving these references. The Greek word harpazo, out of the vines, New Testament dictionary. All right, the next scripture is 2 Corinthians 12. It's all the same word. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Then verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Out of the vines, I do not agree with vines, but anyway, out of the vines, this is about the rapture of the church is what he put, or the return of the Lord. He said of the rapture of the saints at the return of the Lord. This is 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4:17. This is the pet peeve talk doctrine. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right. The next one reference is Revelation 12:5. And And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The verb conveys the idea of forced, suddenly exercise, something that just happens quickly. As in Matthew 11:12, take it by force. Same word. Okay. All right, now let's go back to Matthew. Like I said, I told you, I got a lot of scriptures here. You can be the judge. I won't make your opinion for you. Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil? This is the word here, spoil. Spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Yeah. Matthew 13:19. It's very interesting, the different ways it's used. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So snatcheth, forceful seizure. All right, John 16:15. Oh no, 6:15, not 16. 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. We're kind of familiar with these terms, especially when you think about law enforcement. Force, seizure. All right, John 10:12. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Word catcheth means to seize. All right, verses of that same chapter 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck. This word pluck. Pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Pluck means to seize. Yeah. Did I do Acts 8:39 a while ago? I think I put it here twice. Let me look. Yeah, I did. Okay. That means caught away or to seize. All right, Acts 23:10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring them into the castle. Force here, to seize. All right, Jude 23. Jude's right before Revelation. This has one chapter. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Pulling out. All these words we could run references on. Pluck, pull, snatch, take by force, catcheth away. All of these are the same Greek word. All right. Notice what the scripture does not say when it talks about the being, you know, when the clouds come, that we'll meet the Lord in the air. This is what it does not say, that we'll be caught up to heaven. I believe we're there to greet him at his coming, and he'll be with us from then on. But it says he's coming in the clouds, and so I looked up the scriptures on the clouds because that always has intrigued me. Lord, what are you telling us? What are you saying about this? Like in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we've already looked at that, but I'll look at it again because it has that word in it. Right here, let's do 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You would have thought it would have said in heaven, but it doesn't say that. It says in the air. All right. Cloud there just means cloudiness. I think it means just as that is obscured from our view. Yeah. All right, we're going to look at some more about on clouds. Matthew 17:5. We're not done with the catching up other parts, but we're going to look at the clouds first. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Okay, Mark 9:7. As I'm looking up all these scriptures, I'm reminded of all the extraterrestrial movies that we have seen. What do the spaceships usually do? Even the ones today, these ships that they cloak in the clouds. You'll see these weird cloud formations in the ships in that cloud. I've seen pictures of them. It's very obvious what it is. All right, Mark 9:7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Okay, Luke 9:34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So he was cloaked. Which they have now today, the cloaking technology, from what I understand. I saw something the other day with the TR-3s in three formation following troops. Three of them. Great big things. Look like a triangle. Called the TR-3. Yeah. All right. Acts 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back the same way he left. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Men think they're so smart. God has had this technology for a long time. It's cloaking. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Interesting scriptures. All right, Revelation 10, 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. All right, Revelations 11:12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Kind of sounds like it's heaven's way to get around, doesn't it? Revelation 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in the sickle, or thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Based on all these scriptures, I see a pattern here. The one scripture that the whole rapture theory is based upon is no different. It means seize, just like all the other references. Pluck, take by force. I believe the scriptures do not bear out a rapture theory. Rather, it bears out a rapture, a seizure, taking by force the wicked out. All right, we're going to look at those scriptures. Psalms 37. You know, I hear people say, I've heard even someone say today, we can't prove flat earth. I'm thinking, say what? There's over 200 scriptures in the Bible that proves flat earth. It's just because you don't know your Bible. Psalms 37, 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's a pattern you'll see through Scripture, God taking out the wicked. Quite common. All right. 11, verse 11 of this same psalm. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Why would a good go up, down? I mean, I don't understand. The earth he's given to man. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We just want that renegade, putrid, whatever, to leave us alone. Leave us alone. That's tormented the whole earth for 6,000 years. Leave us the heck alone. We're happy here. We were meant to be happy here. This was made for us. This is our home. Well, you know,
Heaven is my home. We're not good for this earth. We're just too good for this earth because heaven is our home. Does it make you want to throw up when you hear that based on Scripture?
All right, let me see where I'm at. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Woo! That's where we're sitting in history. We're fixing to see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Seized by force out of here. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. I get really put out with hearing people talk so negative about these times that we're in. It's a day of good for the righteous. I mean, there's scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture about this. The earth He has made for man. Why is He going to take us out of here? Why would God have the same sorry attitude that the church has? We don't like it down here. We've stunk the place up. We've allowed the devil to take out everything and do everything and ruin everything, and now we don't want to be here anymore. We took the beautiful thing that God gave us and we mucked it up. And now we want to bail out. Do you think He wants you in heaven after you mucked up the earth the way you did? No. Just think about it. That's the attitude. I'm not saying you specifically. I'm just saying that's the attitude. We're sitting on our suitcase. Don't tell me nothing. I don't want to know nothing. I just want out of here. Well, they're going to give an account. God's going to say, what did you do with what I told you to do? You know, like occupy till I come. Think about it. Occupy? Is that too hard to figure out? No, they let the devil occupy. Why do you think we're in the mess we're in? The devil occupied. And if he occupied, that means we didn't. We didn't occupy. And I don't want to hear him say to me, you didn't do what I told you to do. All right. Psalms 55:23. I mean, it just makes good biblical sense. All right, 55:23. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Why do you think Jesus gave us the prayer to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from evil. Come, Lord Jesus. He wants His government set up here more than we want His government set up here. Do you think that the Lord delights in seeing the bloodshed and everything that His people have gone through? No. He's got to wait till the earth lease runs out. Because He gave this place to us to keep it. You know, I've known people like this, and I don't understand it, but they rent a house, they trash it, leave their old junk in the house, and the landlord has to come in and clean it up. Psalms Some people just think that way. They don't think the right way. They don't think, well, I need to take care of this. All right, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. To rapture us out, we just all go to heaven and have a good time. That's not even scriptural. I'm sorry. I just said it right here. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. They're illegals. They're the real aliens. Verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall inherit the earth. I just read that to you, sorry. All right, Proverbs 11:31. Just the first part of that scripture. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in heaven. When we all get to heaven, we'll have our mansions. No! In the earth. Just think about it. Just think about it. These are just a very few scriptures. I challenge you, do a search for yourself if you've got a doubt. Why would God tell us to occupy the earth if he meant for us to just let the devil have it? This is not based on scripture at all. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That has not changed. When he told them to occupy till I come, that has not changed. There'll be a reckoning when he says, okay, I gave you one talent, two talents, five talents, whatever. All right. Now we're going to read some scriptures here that clinches it for me. All right. First one's Luke chapter 17. Jesus didn't hide anything from us. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Who got taken? Who got left? Likewise also. See, the ark is the word of God. Many years ago, the Lord gave me that. And then I come across a book by Gloria Copeland called Build Yourself an Ark. I said, Lord, that's exactly what you said to me. The ark represents his word. Noah, he was perfect in God's sight. He was a man of faith. He believed God. And likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Who was taken? It wasn't Lot. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that's in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. They have to be homosexuals, wouldn't you think? Two men in a bed? Jesus knew how it would be. Today, to me, that's what it speaks. Two men in one bed. The one should be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. One should be taken, the other left. Two men should be in the field. The one should be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now we know about the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the eagles are going to be called, and the horses, the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle, that they're going to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of, you know, rulers and different things, soldiers. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 24. To me, it doesn't get any plainer. 24, verse 1. We get a drink. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Like I've taught this before, they ask him two questions. When are the stones going to be torn down of this temple? And then when is the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, that let him that be in Judea flee into the mountains. So this is when the temple was torn down. Flee into the mountains. Then let him is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray that your plight or your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then he answers the second question. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. So the Lord said in that last word, one of the last words I had, was about that God has to step in. It's gone too far. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's what he's coming to do. He's coming to take them out. It's not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the evil. Caught up to be seized by force. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's a cloud one I missed. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is where the angels in the four corners of the earth gather them, the church, together. Puts their seal on their forehead. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. See, they were asleep. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. See, this is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. This isn't the rapture of the church as this has been used to portray. This is a time where, oh, woe to you, that you didn't hear. You didn't wake up. You were asleep. You didn't adhere to the Lord. And now he's come for his accounting. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. They're saying, oh, come, Lord. But you know what? For a lot of them, it may not be. They may wish they hadn't prayed that prayer. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, giving them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, occupying. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This catching away is not a happy occasion. All right. Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All right, then 37. Well, let's just read this 31. It kind of says, in another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs, but cometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, or it should be aged there, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth from the Son of the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, one more, two more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2. One. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Who do you think the fallen ones are? The ones we've just been talking about. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will it until he be taken out of the way. See, people think that's the church. I don't think so. I believe it's the wicked. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, there's scriptures that say there's many Christ, or there's been many Antichrist in the world. Many. There's been many Antichrist in the world over 6,000 years. Absolutely. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. I mean, they never thought Hillary would lose. They never thought that this day would come. They were so entitled from generation to generation in their evil, they never thought they could be beat. And they that might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, what do we do? We just hold on, because the best is yet to come. That's what I believe. All right, Psalms 58. We just keep doing what the Lord told us to do, and it will prove itself out. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces and a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. He won't let it go on forever. Here's my final thoughts. Throughout biblical history, as we know it, God has rescued and reset his man back in the garden to tend and to keep it. He intends to do the same until the very end. Rapture does not even fit into God's agenda that he laid down in Genesis 1, and I'm talking about the rapture of the righteous out of here. The wicked are taken out, and the righteous are to remain, because this is what he built for us.